Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines is Tuesday, July 20th. The bishops of Papua New Guinea and the Solomon Islands urge Australia to provide resettlement for 127 refugees. US bishops call on Congress to pass laws that will provide legal status and a path to citizenship for immigrants. And at least 30 people have been killed in a bomb attack on a busy market in the Iraqi capital, Baghdad. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. The Catholic Bishops' Conference of Papua New Guinea and Solomon Islands has urged Australia to provide resettlement for 127 refugees and asylum seekers still detained in the Papuan island of Manus. Christopher Wells tells us more.
The bishops' call for resettlement of refugees comes on the 8th anniversary of the deterrence policy introduced by the Australian government in 2013. That policy established that all asylum seekers arriving in Australia without a visa and sent offshore for processing are subject to a permanent ban on settlement in the country. According to the Refugee Council of Australia, since offshore processing began on August 13, 2012, the Australian government has sent over 4,000 people to Papua New Guinea and to the remote island of Nauru. Most of them have now left Papua New Guinea, with only 127 refugee and asylum seekers remaining. They are not likely to be resettled and could be detained indefinitely. That's why the Bishops' Conference of Papua New Guinea and the Solomon Islands has penned an open letter calling for the Australian Parliament to amend the legislation so as to ensure that remaining refugee and asylum seekers can have freedom and a home in Australia after so much suffering. The bishops also note that their long-term detention has helped achieve the goal of discouraging illegal immigration to Australia. The bishops' letter, signed by Father Giorgio Licini, the General Secretary of the conference, also points out that forcing refugees and asylum seekers to stay indefinitely in Papuan soil, against the wish of everybody in the country, tramples on the right to self-determination of Papua New Guinea. The bishops conclude their letter saying, "We believe it is time for Australia to fully implement a new style of compassionate and participative leadership in the Pacific." I'm Christopher Wells.
In Myanmar, protests and strikes against a February military coup and the security forces' ruthless crackdown on opponents and dissidents have brought the nation to its knees. Now, the third wave of the COVID-19 pandemic and an acute shortage of medical oxygen is wreaking havoc among people. In this situation, Myanmar's Catholic Church is doing everything possible to serve the suffering people with whatever it can. Robin Gomes has this report.
Catholic dioceses in Kayah State in eastern Myanmar have been caring for thousands of civilians displaced by the fighting between the military and local militias in the aftermath of the February 1st military coup. In Kayah State and in the diocese of Loiko, the state capital, fighting between the military and the Armed People Defense Forces, PDF, began in mid-May. The clashes have already caused more than 100,000 civilians to flee their homes, said the administrator of Loiko Diocese, Father Celso Bashwe. The PDF is said to be the armed wing of the National Unity Government, a body claiming to be the legitimate government of Myanmar that was formed in early May in response to the February 1st military coup that ousted the elected government of Aung San Suu Kyi. Father Bashwe said many people have lost their lives, houses have been burnt and churches destroyed. In this situation, the Diocese of Loiko has been providing humanitarian assistance to all the displaced people since May, he told the Vatican's Fides News Agency. The dioceses of Loiko and Pekon have assisted 60,000 displaced people with food, aid, shelter and health care, regardless of their religion and ethnic identity. Father Bashwe said services at the 500-bed government hospital in the state capital Loiko are practically non-existent. In this situation, the Diocese of Loiko has taken up the mission of providing whatever health care services it can. The former small clinic run by Karuna or Caritas in Loiko's Cathedral Complex complex has been converted into a hospital to provide health care to people from Kaya and parts of neighbouring Shan State. Due to the increase in the number of patients, all the buildings in the cathedral compound have been converted into wards to receive patients. Surgeons, doctors, nurses, health service technicians, volunteers and religious offer free service, Father Bashwe said. The diocese has opened dispensaries in three other parishes. To meet the acute shortage of medical oxygen, Loiko Diocese is collaborating with a municipal committee to build an oxygen supply facility. It has agreed to paying a part of the expenses of the $190,000 project. I am Robin Gomes.
Following a U.S. federal judge's recent ruling that bars new applications into the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA program, U.S. bishops are calling on Congress to pass laws that will provide legal status and a path to citizenship for immigrants. Father Benedict Mayaki tells us more.
Bishops in the U.S. have expressed disappointment at a recent decision by a federal judge that strips up protection from deportation from undocumented immigrants who come into the U.S. as children. The ruling made on Friday by Judge Andrew Hansen concluded that the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program violates the Administrative Procedure Act, which governs federal rulemaking, because it evaded the normal notice and comment process adopted in making new rules. The DACA program, created under the Obama administration, not only protects undocumented immigrants known as DREAMers who come into the U.S. as children from deportation, but also allows them to work in the country. Protections under the program are renewable and valid for 2 years at a time. The program, however, does not provide a pathway to citizenship. This latest ruling blocks the U.S. government from accepting new applications into the DACA program, which actively covers approximately 650,000 recipients from an estimated 3.6 million DREAMers total in the United States. In a statement on Monday, Bishop Mario Dorsonville, chairman of the U.S. Bishops' Conference Committee on Migration, called for action by Congress to pass legislation that will provide protection for immigrants. In this regard, he noted that the Senate already has multiple bills before it that will grant permanent relief to DREAMers, including the American Dream and Promise Act, passed by the House of Representatives in March. The bishops went on to point out that DACA was never meant to be a permanent solution for DREAMers, and as such, the recent ruling is simply the most recent development in a long list of events warranting action by Congress. Further supporting his appeal, Bishop Dorsonville highlighted the contributions of DREAMers to the U.S. economy, noting that they serve in the armed forces and raise American families. In spite of this, he lamented, they are prevented from becoming full members of the U.S. society. He therefore stressed that all DREAMers, not only those receiving DACA, deserve the opportunity to achieve their God-given potential in the only country most of them have ever known. This, he insisted, is not only a matter of human dignity, but also family unity, considering the approximately 250,000 U.S. citizen children with DREAMers as parents. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
On the Feast of St. Charbel, celebrated last Sunday, Cardinal Becker Arai, Patriarch of Antioch of the Maronites, prayed for the intercession of the Saint of Lebanon to help the nation recover from one of the worst economic and political crises it has ever faced. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
Cardinal Bechar Arai, Patriarch of Antioch of the Maronites, has entrusted Lebanon to St. Charbel and that his intercession might help the nation pull out of one of the worst crises in its history. The Feast of St. Charbel was marked on Sunday, July 18th. In his homily for the occasion, the Patriarch said, St. Charbel will not let Lebanon collapse, and we must seek through his intercession the miracle of our salvation from total ruin. The economic and political crisis in Lebanon has entered a new phase with last week's renunciation of Prime Minister-designate Saeed Hariri to form a new government. On behalf of the poor, oppressed, hungry, and lost people, like sheep without a shepherd, Cardinal Rai urged all political forces to unity in order to choose together a prime minister who's up to facing the enormous challenges facing Lebanon. It's time to take responsibility and not retreat, he stressed. The country is not facing a normal crisis of government, but a systemic crisis that he said requires concerted efforts by all, and the overcoming of selfishness, interests, and narrow electoral calculations that unfortunately dominate the attention of most parties at the expense of the highest national interest, he said. According to the head of the Maronite Church, the institutional deadlock and immobility of Lebanese political leaders only confirms that the only way out of the crisis is by convening an international conference under the auspices of the UN that formalizes the neutrality of Lebanon in the Middle East political scenarios. An appeal to the international community to help Lebanon not sink and recover was also made by Pope Francis on the occasion of the recent Day of Reflection and Prayer for Lebanon, celebrated on July 1st at the Vatican with the leaders of Lebanon's Christian communities. The Pope addressed in particular the national political leaders to put themselves resolutely at the service of the country and not of their own interests, also calling for an end to external interference to give the Lebanese a chance to be the builders of a brighter future. On August 4th, on the first anniversary of the explosions in the port of Beirut, a new international conference will be organized for Lebanon on the initiative of French President Emmanuel Macron, who's pressing for the rapid establishment of a type of national unity government to enact the reforms necessary to release blocked international aid. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Turning to world news, German authorities came under increasing fire on Tuesday over the deadly floods that engulfed large parts of the country last week, leaving Europe's richest economy caught flat-footed by a disaster that had been predicted days earlier. As Chancellor Angela Merkel travelled to the disaster zone for the second time, there were growing questions about how well-prepared local and national authorities were for the floods that swept through defenceless towns and villages last week. A South African court granted former President Jacob Zuma's request for a delay in his arms deal corruption trial on Tuesday and adjourned proceedings for 3 weeks. Zuma is accused of receiving kickbacks over a $2 billion arms deal from the 1990s. He pleaded not guilty in May to charges including corruption, fraud and money laundering. Scientists are working on a benchmark for COVID-19 vaccine efficiency that would allow drug makers to conduct smaller, speedier human trials to get them to market and address a huge global vaccine shortage. Researchers are trying to determine just what level of COVID-19 antibodies a vaccine must produce to provide protection against the illness. And finally, at least 30 people have been killed in a bomb attack on a busy market in the Iraqi capital Baghdad. Nathan Morley reports.
According to the police, the device exploded at a market in the northern Sadar city area as families were preparing for the Islamic festival of Eid al-Adha. Police said that women and children were among those killed on the market. Some shops were set on fire, according to authorities. It was the deadliest bombing in Baghdad in the last 6 months. The so-called Islamic State group known as IS claimed it was behind the blast and said one of its members detonated an explosive vest. The Islamic State has sleeper cells which continue to wage a low-level insurgency across the country. The group said it was behind a car bomb blast back in April, which killed 4 people and another at a market in Sadar City. It also claimed a twin suicide bombing attack in January, which left 32 people dead. That was the deadliest bombing in the capital in 3 years. An Iraqi military spokesman said that the Prime Minister had now ordered the arrest of the commander of the federal police, who was in charge of the market area, and an investigation had been launched. The Iraqi government declared victory on its war against the Sunni Muslim jihadist group at the end of 2017. In a separate development, the Iraqi Prime Minister will discuss the withdrawal of American combat troops with US officials, as well as plans for the remaining soldiers to train its forces. Iraq's troops are ready and undertaking the responsibility of fighting Islamic State militants, but they still need training and intelligence backup, according to the government in Iraq. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also follow us on Vatican News English Section Facebook page and Twitter accounts. Many thanks go to Joe Mauriello in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.